Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Jesus Christ is alive. That is the basic gospel, the good news that we offer here each and every day. It's the good news that is being shared, has been being shared since Jesus was raised from the dead. Yes. And the fact that he's alive today means so much. It means that our sins, if we're truly in Christ, have been forgiven once and for all. He finished the work. He completed it. Now, we have a hard time really resting in that, and so we always ask questions like this. Well, when I sin, what should I do? What should I do when I sin? As if there's something required of us to get forgiveness for that sin or to get back into God's good graces or to restore our fellowship. We always think that sin has done something to us to put us in a negative light as far as God is concerned.
There must be some groveling involved.
That's exactly right. And so we ask that question. Well, we sin, so what are we supposed to do when we sin? Well, the first thing is simply rest in the forgiveness that we have in Christ. Mm-hmm. And then two, trust God's Spirit to do what God's Spirit is going to do inside of you. Say you need to make restitution. God's Spirit is going to lead you to make restitution. But as far as forgiveness is concerned, there's nothing for you to do. Why? Because Jesus did everything that was required to be done. Last week, Richard, you talked about that great passage in Hebrews 9, which states, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
So we can't have forgiveness apart from the shed blood of Christ. Jesus shed his blood once and for all. We received him by faith, and when we did, we received forgiveness of sins. It's that simple. And we try to complicate it. We add layer and layer and layer of duty and activity and all of that on top of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Get rid of all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Rest confidently in what Christ has accomplished for you. He shed his blood once and for all, and then he said, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more, and where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary.
Yes.
What are we doing when we are begging God, pleading with God, promising God? Well, we are offering up what we think of as sacrifices.
Yes.
So that God will accept those sacrifices that we've offered up and will restore us back to good status. We're in good status if we're in Christ. There was a sacrifice. It was made by Jesus. It was made once for all time. And in this new covenant that we live in today, where God chooses to remember our sins no more, there is no longer a sacrifice for sin necessary. That's the good news of the gospel. If you're struggling today with forgiveness in your own life, if you're struggling with forgiving someone that has wronged you, we invite you to call, be a part of today's broadcast. The number to do so is 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to New Jersey and talk with Ron, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ron.
Hello, how are you today?
Well, doing fine, Ron. Nice to hear from you.
Good to hear. Good to listen to your show. It helps a lot. I have a question today about a marital giving testimony to my wife and trying to bring her closer to the Lord. And it seems when I bring a, you know, one that I've been going over a lot today is, you know, trust in the Lord and also all things happen for good for those who obey God. But it seems like when problems arise, I or when I err or sin, it is thrown in my face that or sins of my past also, when we try to discuss things at times of the gospel. My wife doesn't really read the Bible, but she is Christian, and it just seems like my testimony and myself is cut down to where I feel I cannot even speak of the grace of God to her, because it is taken in vain almost, to, if you understand what I'm talking about.
Well, Ron, does she feel like you're trying to convert her, or does she feel like that you're trying to change who she is and that sort of thing?
You know, I would have to say maybe in the past, I would say up to a year ago, it may be to where I tried to maybe impose on her to of the goodness of forgiveness and stuff like that. And I really pulled away from that, even to just talk about what Christ has done for us and how our eternal rewards in heaven are such a gift from God, and just to really take it off of the relationship and bring it to that. But even to the point to where years past will come up in the thing, and like I struggle with forgiveness in this situation because I'm forgiving, and then when things from 2, 3, 4 years ago come up, well, all of a sudden my forgiveness isn't truly forgiveness, because they seem to pop back up in my face of just a vicious circle of to where I feel like I can no longer help her in becoming closer to the Lord.
Well, that's the whole point. It's not really your job to help her get closer to the Lord. I mean, that's a desire of yours, but that's God going to have to open up her eyes and see what he has done for her. Your job, Ron, as the husband, is to love her as Christ loved the church. And in doing so, leave the results of that in God's hands. We can't save ourselves, Ron. We can't change ourselves. When we finally realize that, that's when we submit ourselves to the work of Christ, when we submit ourselves to the work of God's Spirit. And once that dependence happens in our hearts, then we see change. We see God doing his work inside of us. And so I think in the same vein, Ron, you need to realize that, you know, your wife, that's you know, her change and her drawing closer to the Lord, that isn't on your shoulders. God didn't put that responsibility on your shoulders. He's put it on his shoulders. And so in this situation, in this marital relationship, do what God is telling you to do, and that's to love her as Christ loved the church. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I think that's where you have to say, Ron, Lord, teach me how to love her uniquely in such a way that she sees this love being expressed to her. And I think if you will walk down that path, I think it might surprise her.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying there, Ron?
I do understand. I understand. And I for myself, just to focus on, you know, forgive as Christ forgiven me, and to just to be love as Christ taught us to love.
Yeah.
Well, and to love her uniquely, right?
Absolutely. Hey, let me do this for you, Ron. I did a CD on marriage, and I would love to send that to you. And I speak you know, quite extensively in that particular message on how husbands can love their wives as Christ loved the church. And if you will just focus on that, and that's going to put your eyes fully on Jesus, love her as Christ loves the church. So you're going to have to keep your eyes on Jesus. And as you do, I think Jesus will give you those unique ways to reach out and love her that will make a difference, that will really make her stop in her tracks and say, wow, something's going on with my husband, something powerful, something real, something genuine. I've never felt this before, but I'm feeling something brand new in this relationship. And that's what you want. And that is the very thing that is going to help her take notice of this relationship that you have with Christ. But Ron, let me put you on hold and we'll send you that CD, okay?
I thank you very much.
You are so welcome. And once you get it and listen to it, call us back, will you?
Yeah, please do.
I will.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Ron. You hang on. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today. We certainly welcome your call to the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a problem situation, a question about forgiveness, and that's our topic today, yes. And the topic all month, as a matter of fact, in light of that topic, we are offering the 28-Day Forgiveness Challenge. And it's available on our website, but it's also available to anyone who signs up to be a part of our email subscription list. And you can do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net, simply clicking the subscription box and following the instructions. And then every day you will get a new challenge in this 28-day forgiveness challenge. So go to basicgospel.net, sign up today. We would love for you to take part in this 28-day forgiveness challenge. So we've started with how Christ forgave us through his shed blood on the cross. We're going to work through how we can then forgive ourselves, and then how we can extend that forgiveness own to others. This is so vital to the Christian life. God so loved that he gave, but God also so loved that he forgave. Yes. And if we're going to grow in our relationship with Christ, that forgiveness is really going to be a part of who we are in this world. So again, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. We would love to hear from you right now. Well, let's go to Jennifer in New Jersey listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Welcome.
So my question is, my husband was physically, emotionally, and sexually abused as a child for a very, very long time. I believe more so the physical and emotional. And he received Christ a couple of years ago. And as a good Christian, he wants to be able to forgive his mother. It was his mom that he was going through with this. And he says that he forgave her. I believe that. But I know that he struggles with the emotion of dealing with the reoccurring thoughts and all those things that he goes through. How does he know, or how can I reassure him that he has truly, in fact, forgiven his mom? Because I know it's a process.
Well, Jennifer, that's a really good question, and it gets down to how our minds and our emotions operate. We can forgive, and forgiveness on our behalf, when we extend forgiveness to another person, that's really an act of kindness or an act of grace. We can't forgive like Christ has forgiven us. Why? Because he had to shed his blood for us, and in shedding his blood, he removed our sins from us. He sent our sins away, and he chooses to remember them no more. And so in light of that, we extend this grace to others, and we say, we're not going to bring up the past anymore. Now, we don't necessarily bring it up to the person who offended us, who or wronged us, but we can bring it up in our minds. We can think back on those events. And any time that we think back on those events of the past, whether good or bad, our emotions are going to be engaged. And if we're thinking about the past and it's a negative experience filled with guilt and shame and heartache and all of those sort of things that we felt when that happened, we're going to feel those same emotions today. And so how do we break free from those emotions? How do we move away from those things? Well, we do so by simply latching on to truth. Truth sets us free. Error keeps us in bondage. So we need to realize that Jesus Christ has dealt with sin once and for all. He's not going to deal with it again. He shed his blood. He chooses to remember it no more. Why? Because he sent it away from us as far as the east is from the west. And that's what he did with my sins. And that's what he did with that person's sins who offended me.
Yes.
And so we have to rest. We have to rest in that. And we are human. We're going to bring back those old memories. That's just who we are. And when we do, we're going to have emotions that follow. But that's not who we are. Those emotions don't define us. That's just something that happened in the past. We're feeling that today. And I think we can use those to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for using all of those negative circumstances in my life to bring me to a point where I can really rest in your forgiveness of my sins, and I can latch on to your love each and every day.
Yeah, yeah, and this kind of a situation is so tough. We've got to remember that those bad things in her husband's case actually happened. My forgiving the person who abused me in no way means that that stuff didn't happen. What it really means is I'm letting go of it so that I can hold on to Jesus instead.
Yes, indeed.
And that's where you hope it goes. It's not a duty to forgive. It's a privilege to let go of all that stuff so that you can move forward in a healthier way.
Yeah, and Richard, a lot of times we have problems letting go of the past because we have allowed the past to define who we are today. So it's become an identity. Mm-hmm. And that's why so many people struggle with the love of Jesus Christ. They think the love of Jesus Christ is poured out into the children of God. And you say, yeah, I'm supposed to be that, but this is who I really am. I'm unworthy of being loved. I'm unlovable. Why? Because I was molested as a kid. My mom molested me, the person who was supposed to love me. So that proves that I'm unlovable. And no matter what God says in the Bible, no matter what that tells me, it doesn't apply to me. And so we have to recognize that through faith in Jesus Christ, our identity has changed. We're no longer sinners like we once were. We're now called saints. We're children of God. We've been made new. We have hearts that can respond to the love of God in such a way that we love him back.
Yes.
And that's what this gospel message is all about. And that's why we have to see salvation in a much broader context than merely forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. And when we realize that Christ has changed us from the inside out, that's when we can genuinely let go of the past, break free from that, and experience this new life that we have in Christ.
Yes. Well, we have an email question here from a gentleman named Jack. He said, I was once told that because God remembers our sins and lawless acts no more, God doesn't see us sin anymore. Well, I take this verse to mean that he remembers our sins no more as he is choosing not to hold them against us, not that he doesn't see them. Otherwise, how would it be possible to grieve the Holy Spirit, or, as Peter says, to be holy in all your behavior? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's a good point that he is making. He chooses to remember our sins no more, and I think we need to think of that in terms of a court situation. Mm-hmm. That all of our sins have been brought before the court. All of them have been examined. Evidence was presented. There was a verdict rendered, and that verdict was guilty. And there was a sentence that was dealt out, and that sentence was death. And Jesus Christ stood in our place and took that death for us. So all of our sins have been taken care of from a legal standpoint.
Yes.
And as a result of that, God doesn't remember them anymore. There's no more legal transactions being taken place. But as far as our sins are concerned, God wants us to live lives of love one toward another.
Yes.
When we sin against somebody, we're missing the mark of love. And so God's Spirit works inside of us and says, hey, you're missing the mark of love. I called you, and I've come to live inside of you to equip you to love others. And that act that you just did, that hurt this person over here. We see it in marriage all the time.
Yes.
I do things verbally. I can be very harsh sometimes with my words to Gina and the kids. And when I do, I feel awful about those things. Why? Because my words have hurt them. And sometimes those words hurt them deeply. I've done actions that have hurt Gina and have hurt my kids. Well, the Holy Spirit, He's not convicting me of sin. He's not condemning me for those actions. I was condemned, but in Christ I'm condemned no longer. But He is convicting in such a way that I know that those actions have caused harm, and then He moves me to restore the relationship, to reach out to Gina, to the kids, or to anyone that I've offended, and to say, listen, I didn't want to do that, but I did, and I hurt you, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And so we take the initiative in that regard. And then give them the opportunity to respond. And every time that that's happened in my life, the relationship strengthens. And I see this love deepen and grow. And that's what this relationship with Christ is all about. So He remembers them no more. That doesn't mean He doesn't see what's going on. Why? Because He's interested in other people. And when we offend and hurt other people, He wants us to see that so that we can restore.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that because there is no more condemnation for us, the Holy Spirit can have very explicit conversations with each of us about this stuff, and it's not condemning. It's restoring, but it is explicit.
Yes, indeed.
Richard, you did this.
Yes.
Oh, I did. You know, and I was hoping you didn't see it, but I did that, and now I get to go and make restoration possible and all that.
Absolutely. Well, let's go quickly to Rockville Center and talk with Vincent, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How about you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. I was just listening. I just turned it on like 10 minutes ago, but and you were talking about forgiveness. I just wanted to make a couple of awesome points that maybe will help some people out there. I do a children's church ministry every Sunday. So, and a couple months ago, the topic was forgiveness. And the important point they were making was that forgiveness, practically forgiveness is deciding that the other person doesn't have to pay or doesn't owe anything or someone else doesn't have to offend them the way we've been offended. So deciding they don't have to pay for it. Because sometimes emotions and faith, our emotions can still be there, but we've forgiven somebody. So it's good to separate those two.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Vincent, we sure appreciate the call. Thanks for weighing in on today's topic. That's it's such a big topic,
yes,
isn't it, Richard,
yes,
as far as forgiveness of sins is concerned. We try to lean on our own understanding in figuring out forgiveness, but forgiveness is a God thing. He originated forgiveness. He's the source of forgiveness in our lives. And when we abide in that forgiveness, then we are able to forgive others in the same way.
Yes.
Meaning, we reach out and initiate those who have wronged us. We can reach out to them and say, I forgive you for that. I'm choosing not to bring it up. Let's move past it. And let's keep this relationship on the right track.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. We come to the end of another edition. Boy, these shows go by quickly. But a reminder to our listeners that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast, and those who support, we say thank you. You keep the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ going out over the airways each and every day. And if you haven't given, I invite you to think about your own life and how Christ Jesus changed you and the story that you have. There's lots of other people with stories similar to yours. Invest in their lives by making a gift to Basic Gospel today. All the information is online. Join us, won't you? Well, we'll see you again tomorrow.